Today on The Girl Defined Show, we are talking all about a popular technology that women are embracing everywhere, and it's egg freezing. And it's a way for women to basically bypass our biological clock. And our culture, really, it's taken the approach that children are more like accessories than anything else. Have them or don't have them. If they fit into your life, great. If not, no biggie. If you want to save them for later, that's an option too. And we see articles coming out like freeze your eggs, free your career, or later, baby, egg freezing technology is helping women kiss the mommy track goodbye. Or how about this? A new fertility procedure gives women more choices in the quest to have it all. But how should we as Christian women, women who are guided by a biblical worldview, how should we approach this? How should we think about our fertility? I can tell you this right now, that we should think differently. We have to view everything, including this new egg freezing technology, through a biblical worldview. We can't shy away from these topics. We need to embrace them with grace head on. And that's what we're going to be unpacking today on The Girl Defined Show. What's up, sisterhood? It's Bethany and Kristen here. And if you follow pop culture, if you, are in the medical world at all, then what we're talking about today is probably going to be a topic that's very familiar to you. I mean, I was listening to a pretty conservative, kind of Christian-based podcast the other day. And in the interview, the person who was being interviewed just threw it out there like, yeah, and so I went through the normal routine. You know, I froze my eggs so I could focus on my career. And, you know, I think one day I do want to have children, but I'm not even in a serious relationship right now. So we'll just see, I just want to have that option out there. And it was very much in line with what we're talking about. But what was so surprising to me was how that was not even like a blink of an eye. It was just like, oh yeah, totally. Like, of course, that's a normal part of the conversation for modern women is when you're young, you freeze your eggs so that you can have kids on your time in your way. Maybe you can even bypass marriage altogether. There are so many options that are confusing, honestly, and hard for me to even wrap my mind fully around. But like Kristen said, we as Christian women here at Girl Defined, getting back to God's design, we need to be bold and we need to be unafraid and unashamed to question these things and to say, okay, is this a good approach? Why do I want to do this? Why am I supportive of this? Why do I not bat an eye when someone mentions something like this? God has a lot to say about children, about family, about, you know, just his design for generations. And that's not something we think about very often. So today we're going to dive into this topic. And if you are familiar or not, I encourage you to stick with us because I promise you that this will come up in your life at some point, whether through your own experiences, someone you love and, you know, someone that you see on TV, and just knowing how to think about it is huge. If you want to take a deep dive though into the topic of biblical femininity, God's design for womanhood, Kristen and I wrote a book called Girl Defined, God's Radical Design for Beauty, Femininity, and Identity. And we put that word radical in the title because Christian women need to know that God's design in our modern world is radical. It is going in the other direction of culture. Culture is like, we're going this way. And God's design is like, it's the opposite direction. So it's hard. It's radical. And we need to be okay with that, knowing like, hey, I am swimming upstream, but I know that God's design is so good and so wonderful. So if you want to be empowered to understand his good design, if you are like, I need to take a deep dive. Maybe I became a Christian when I was young, or I'm still on that journey. I'm not sure even if I am a Christian, or I don't even know God that well. This book will take you back to the basics and help you walk through every step of what does it mean to be a Christian woman? How should I live out my femininity? What's God's design for family, for marriage? All of the things. You can grab Girl Defined at girldefined.com/shop. It is one of the most beautiful books on there with the beautiful flowers. You will see it. But I really encourage you to, make these topics personal. Don't just listen to us. Do the work, dig in, read, because the benefits of understanding God's design are huge.
Yeah. And like you said, it is like you're swimming against a raging current. I always think about when you follow God's design, if you don't feel like you're swimming upstream, like you are fighting against a rushing river headed toward a waterfall, then maybe you are falling in line with a lot of cultural worldviews more than you even realize. Because when we truly follow God's word, when we look at his design, when we say this is what's true, what we see in scripture, we will automatically be swimming against the cultural tide now more than ever, now more than even 5 years ago, 10 years ago. Like, there's a very distinct line. And so if you're not feeling that, then even more so, grab a copy of Girl Defined so you can understand, so you can experience the beauty and freedom that God has for us within his design. He is a good father. He has a good plan. Doesn't mean it's easy. Doesn't mean it's, going to be accepted anywhere except, in God's word, but it's his good for us. And so, yes, please grab a copy. But as we dig into this topic, we know that it's pretty controversial. It's something that we feel like is so important to talk about, though, because it is gaining more popularity. And it's been around for a little while. It's not brand new, but I am seeing it. We're both seeing it more and more in the mainstream. It's becoming something that is a little bit more of like a checklist in your early 20s. Okay, figure out we're going to go to school, check the box, figure out your career, figure out your plans. Okay, freeze your eggs, secure that option for the future. It's kind of like becoming this mainstream, almost like routine for a lot of women. And so it is something that isn't just for the elite celebrities. Early on, it's something that has come into mainstream culture and something you may have heard about or you may not have heard about it. Maybe you're sitting here going, egg freezing, what the heck are they talking about?
Yeah, so maybe you know a lot more about like the medical side of things. So can you just first give us an overview, like, what in the world are we talking about when we say freeze your eggs? We're not talking about like going and getting the bird eggs out back. Like,
oh my goodness. We're not talking about freezing your dozen eggs in your fridge that you got at the grocery store.
What is this?
Okay, yeah. And I want to actually make two distinctions here. I think this is really important because what I don't want to be confused with this is women who are genuinely seeking the Lord, married women who are desiring children, who are experiencing the brokenness of infertility, which I am experiencing and have walked through for now almost 11 years. And they're There are certain medical treatments that you can do where it might have parts of egg freezing involved in it, but there could be ways you could go about some of these medical advancements, these technological advancements in a biblical, pro-life manner for the purpose of pursuing children right now with your husband because you're trying to overcome the brokenness of infertility. So that is one aspect that is not what we're talking about at all right now when we're talking about freezing your eggs. What we're talking about right now when it comes to freezing your eggs and this trend, like I mentioned in the opening, articles that are very clearly stating the purpose of this trend for women. It's all about freeze your eggs, free your career. It's about taking control of your biological clock when you're young and basically bypassing it, buying yourself time so that you don't have to think about family. You don't have to think about marriage. You don't have to even think about, do I want to have children or not? The whole trend in society is that you're taking control of your fertility when you're young so that you can have options when you're older and do what you want on your own timeline. It's basically society's way of bypassing the clock that God gave us, which I think is a very intentional clock.
And also a way to bypass God's design for children come about.
Yes. Like it gives, so basically, yes, it's an option for single women who are like, well, I don't know if I ever want to even get married, or women in same-sex relationships. Well, this is an option for us to basically freeze eggs down the road, have children. Like it's bypassing God's, in many ways, God's design. But I know there could be women listening who are saying, well, no, I just want to, freeze my eggs when I'm young to have more potential for later in my marriage, in my Christian marriage. So we want to talk about all aspects here, but basically just a quick nutshell of what we're talking about, freezing your eggs. So I've been learning a lot about this because of my journey with infertility. I feel like I've done so much research. I've talked to so many fertility doctors. I've just heard about like basically everything that's happening in the fertility world because of my own situation. So I've learned that our fertility, it really does decline as we age. So, they say a woman's peak fertility is going to be like about mid-20s. So peak fertility, that is when she is most fertile, when she's going to be most able to get pregnant easily for the majority of people, right? There are always cases of infertility struggle, but for the majority of women, it's like her mid-20s, that's like her peak time. But if you think about our society, right, that is not anymore when most women are even thinking about settling down, getting married, having a family, even thinking about kids. Like that's not even close to the radar. So that is a woman's peak fertility. Most women these days are getting married much later, right? I mean, you think of like our mom's generation, it's like, okay, getting married in your early 20s was very normal. Now getting married in your late 20s is very normal. Into your 30s, some women even 40s, like the clock has just been pushed back for when women are even considering these things. So going back to our biological clock, so most women are able to begin conceiving, when their period starts, when they start getting their cycles. And that's like 13, 14, maybe younger for some girls, but average age, like around 13. And so you're able to conceive, and as you get into your 20s, it's like, okay, you start hitting those peak fertility years. But once you hit 30, this is just science, biological science. When you hit 30, a woman's fertility starts declining. And what that means basically is that, yes, you still have cycles, everything still feels the same, but your egg numbers are going down because every time you have a cycle, you lose eggs. And we are born with all of the eggs that we'll ever have when we're born. Like, we don't get any more. We don't get, we lose them over time, but there's no way to gain more. Now, the quality of our eggs can often be affected by lifestyle, diet, quality of life, things like that. So we do have some encouragement in that as we get older, we can do things to try to help our quality, but we can do nothing to increase our quantity. And so one of the levels that I personally actually had checked in my fertility journey is called my AMH. And this is a hormone that they can test through a blood work to basically see where your ovarian reserve is at. And if you look at women, you test women in their early 20s, you test their AMH, you're going to see their ovarian reserve, their numbers are usually very high. You test them mid-20s, okay, maybe a little lower, 30. But once you hit like 30, 35, those numbers start decreasing rapidly. So doctors will say like a woman's fertility between 25 and 30, it doesn't change significantly. But a woman's fertility between 30 to 35, and then 35 to 40, it declines rapidly. It's kind of like it goes down, you know, down the roller coaster full speed, and it's just every year big decline. And so that is why often women who try to have children later in life after 35 and beyond, it can often take a lot longer. It can often be harder. The majority of women pursuing fertility treatments are often older than 35 for that exact reason, because their AMH is low, their ovarian reserve has decreased with time, with age. They don't have as many eggs. And as time goes on, the quality of those eggs decrease as well. And so this new technology, it's not new, but this technology that is becoming really popular is basically saying, okay, we get the science, we get it. After a woman hits 35, 40, it does become harder for a lot of women to conceive because their ovarian reserve is diminished. So what we're going to do is have this technology where we're going to encourage women in their early 20s, when their eggs, you know, mid-20s, when they have their peak fertility, when their ovarian reserve is high, when everything's going strong, freeze your eggs now so you don't have to worry about it when you're 35. You don't have to think about it when you're 40, because doctors are discovering that if you use a 25-year-old woman's eggs and you implant them in a 35-year-old woman's womb, the 25-year-old eggs are what matters. It doesn't matter that the womb is 35. It matters that the eggs are young. The younger the eggs, the more chance of pregnancy. So that's just kind of like a quick overview of what's happening. And you can kind of clearly see the way that it's being presented in our modern culture is this: let's bypass the biological clock. Let's give women complete control, complete independence. Let's take everything out of God's hands and try to control it so that women can really have it all. I mean, that's what we're being promised. Yeah.
It's hard because what you just, you, I almost felt like you were giving the spiel for it.
Like, oh, like it, presenting it as a really positive.
Yeah, it was like, that sounds like so smart and so like, to me, it was like, oh, well then what's the problem? Like, that actually sounds really great and like a great way for us to, you know, maybe guarantee that we can have more children. I mean, I've shared, I've had 3 miscarriages, you know, mm-hmm. I'm 33, so I'm past that peak too, you know? So it's like, oh, you know, I didn't get married till 30. So should I have when I was 22? Like, let's pop those bad boys in the freezer and you know, I mean,
right. I mean, and that's the spiel that would be presented. Like, you can hear, oh, that does make a lot of sense. But what I think we have to come back to is the motivation behind it, right? Yeah. Like, what is the motivation going into this? And like I said, there's a separate category of women experiencing infertility, pursuing treatment in, you know, in their marriage with their husband, like wanting to pursue God's design, wanting to welcome children. And there could be aspects of egg freezing for a temporary time to pursue fertility options. And there's that category. But what we're talking about is the other category. And it sounds appealing, but really we have to get to the heart motivation. Like, what is the motivation underlying in our hearts as we're pursuing this technology? And, you know, I can't see the hearts of anyone. I can only see my heart. I can't read anybody's motivations, but, you know, you can see from these articles, the way that they present it really is this motivation of women wanting to take complete control, not wanting to have to submit to God's design, not wanting to have to submit to God's, the cycle that he's given us, the fertility that he's given us. This is God's design for women, basically bypassing that and saying like, okay, God, whatever, I'm doing things my way on my time. You see this really, I don't know, this worldview, I don't know what you want to call it, like this mindset that doesn't value children, that doesn't value marriage, that doesn't uphold these things as this generational vision that God has given us. In scripture, we see a generational vision of parents raising children, discipling them, and those children all for the glory of God, all for the kingdom of God. We don't see women often with this sort of being pushed into this mindset of like upholding, like children are a blessing, children are a gift. It's more like children are an accessory, children are kind of a small burden. I don't want to have them now at all because they're going to ruin my career, ruin my 20s, ruin my plans. But if I want to have them later, if I feel like it later, I want to have that option.
Yeah.
So we see this heart motivation so often that isn't in line with God's heart for children and family at all.
Yeah. Well, and I think especially as Christian women, we need to take a step back and ask ourselves, okay, living in today's culture, living in a world where this is very much possible and very much pushed and promoted and just kind of a part of the routine, we have to ask ourselves what has shaped our view of motherhood and children? What has shaped our view of family? And I think that for the majority of us, we can't say that we've taken a deep dive, that we've really studied God's heart for this area of our lives. I mean, when I think of young couples or any couple really that's getting married, one of the first things that, you know, you'll hear them say when it comes to children is that it for many couples hasn't been an in-depth conversation. It hasn't been something where they've sought counsel, they've prayed about. It's just the automatic response is, oh yeah, we're going to definitely wait like 3-4 years, then we'll talk about it, then we'll think about it. And I think the problem with that is that there wasn't this, like, it's exactly what you're saying. It's like, oh, we might, you know, we'll live here for 3 years. We might move. Oh yeah, we'll have this car. It's almost like it's just another one of the things that you do when you're, you know, when you get married or when you become an adult. But it's like, we are talking about God's design for the family. This is how the world continues on. You know, like if there are no more children, there's not a next generation. This is it. You know, like if people stop having children, this is it. And you even think of like the gospel and how we are adopted into God's family. He literally uses family as a picture of what the gospel even is. And so I think of couples when they get married or when they're dating, and this conversation is so small for many. You may be one of the couples where you're like, hey, we went through those 136 questions that y'all offer for free for dating couples, and we talked about it all, which you can get those at girldefined.com/questions for free. So you can have these in-depth conversations. But I think that what we're challenging you to do is to think, okay, have I truly studied God's heart for children? What is my view of motherhood? Do I value it? Do I value the fact that God has made me a woman with a womb, with the ability to potentially carry life and nurture that within me? We have had lots of conversations about infertility and miscarriage. So we understand that that there's brokenness because of the fall. But in general, where is the heart? Where is the heart for discipleship? Where is the heart for the next generation? Where is the heart for the gospel saying, wow, I would love to invest into the next generation. I would love to disciple. I would love to bring up children and, you know, to know the Lord and to love Him. It's like, truly, when I look in the church, when I look around, that is such a low priority, especially for couples when they've, you know, been married for the first 5 or 10 years. It's like, that's something that we'll get to. It's not often talked about in a positive, encouraging, uplifting, like a blessing sort of way. It's very much like you said, like it's an accessory. It's kind of like a burden. When I want to, this is all within my control. We don't view God as having any say in it or any care in it. And I think it's so sad that we as Christians have lowered ourselves to being in some ways so godless, like the culture that we say, this is my thing, my time, my clock, my when I want to, and I don't want that to interrupt, you know, my financial situation, my life, my, you know, all of that. I think we need to take ourselves out of the picture for a little bit and say, well, what does God want? What does God want for this area of my life? What does God want for this area of my marriage? And it's a very humbling place to be. It can be a very scary place to be, because anytime we release control of something and say, God, I'm going to trust you with this area of my life. I'm going to trust you with, you know, to give me children, to not give me children. I want to have a heart that desires and values what you value. That's scary because it's often in contrast to what we want. And like I'm saying, that takes a lot of humility. It takes a lot of releasing control, a lot of trusting God. And it's not the way the culture is going, so it's really, really hard to do.
Right, and it's really, at the end of the day, like submitting to God's design over our desires. Like, God, I submit to your design. Like we see in scripture over and over, like Mary, the mother of Jesus, getting the most shocking news, you know, that she's going to have a baby before she's even married, you know, Jesus, with this miraculous pregnancy. And what did she say? Behold, I am a servant of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to your will. I don't think any of us are going to experience that sort of miraculous pregnancy. So we don't have to worry about that. But that heart posture of, behold, I am a servant of the Lord. Let it be done to me. And that is something that we have lost sight of so often as Christian women, is that humble heart posture of submitting to God's will, submitting to God's word, submitting our desires to Him and saying, at the end of the day, God, I'm your servant. Help me to obey you, to walk in a manner worthy of the calling, right? There's something else though I want to address on this topic of egg freezing, and it's something that I've seen come up consistently, and it's very much pushed by the feminist agenda, by the feminist movement, and it's this idea that because men don't have biological clocks, women shouldn't have to worry about them either. And, you know, basically, scientifically, biologically, men can still reproduce. They can still impregnate women for a much longer time than women are able to conceive and get pregnant. I mean, that's just fact. And so to level the playing field, those were the words used in an article I saw. They're saying, yes, this egg freezing technology, finally, it detaches, right, fertility from our biological clock. And so now in some ways, you know, even feminists aren't fully happy because still the biological clock will run out. No matter how many healthy young eggs you freeze, there comes a point where you're done, right? Like you hit menopause, it's you're over, like it's finished. That sounds so terrible. But I mean, in the sense, like men can keep going. And for us women, there is a hard end. And so this egg freezing technology is really pushed and promoted from a feminist mindset of, yeah, well, now guess what? We're a little more equal to men. Men don't have to worry as much about their biological clock. And now we as women don't have to either. And we see this also, this detachment from God's design. And that's the part that I find most concerning. Yeah. Is like, it's so subtle that it's hard to even detect sometimes. We only see the benefits. We think, oh, like you said, well, that sounds like a pitch for something that seems really beneficial. But when we detach things from God's design with the wrong heart motivation, with a very self-centered, self-absorbed, not in it to glorify God at all kind of motivation, it's just really all about self. We're detaching really our fertility, producing life, something so beautiful, a gift from God. We're detaching it from our biological clock. We're detaching it from God's design. And we're being told, yeah, this levels the playing field. Now we're more equal with men. And I even think about the way this has happened with sex in general.
Yes.
Right? Like 100%. Where the big movement, like when the birth control pill came in, and we want to do an episode on that sometime too, just kind of talking about that from more of like a historical and like biblical standpoint, sex really became detached from intimacy. It was just about women leveling the playing field. Sex became detached from pregnancy, right? Because now women can just have all the sex they want, just like men, and not have to suffer the quote consequences of getting pregnant. And so now we see sexual intimacy ripped out of the beautiful design of marriage that God placed it in intentionally. In Genesis 1 and 2, we see this picture of God bringing a man and a woman together, placing sexual intimacy within the marriage for lots of reasons, fulfillment, joy in the marriage, a celebration of the covenant, and also to reproduce, to bring new life into the world, to produce next generations. That has been ripped out of the marriage bed. And now women can, you know, in that same sense, feminists say, well, now the playing field has been leveled as well, because now women can enjoy sex in the same way that men can without any consequences. And so as Christian women, we just have to be mindful. These messages are so subtle. They come at us, presented at us as like this benefit, as this awesome, like, yeah, girl, like, go girl, boss girl, like, we've leveled the playing field. Like, we're going to have all the same things as men without stopping and saying, wait. I'm not the creator. I'm not the designer. Why did God make it this way? What was God up to? What is his heart for this? So I just think that's something really important and that we have to be mindful of and like recognize there are sneaky, subtle lies coming in that can be presented as something beautiful and good when really it's not.
Yeah. And you know, it's so crazy how unpopular this is to say, but it's just getting back to like, God is the creator and he knew what he was doing. You know, he made men and women to be different,
right.
Very, you know, equally valuable, but purposely different. He created men, their bodies, their strength, even, you know, the amount of blood, their heart pumps and their physical ability. It is different than women, and women have beautiful abilities that men do not have. Women have a uterus and a womb, and they're able to, you know, carry children and nurture life and, you know, breastfeed and do these things that men cannot do.
Despite our society's attempts to try to make men to be able to do this, it's not working.
It's insane. And so what's so sad to me is that we as women have said, oh no, in order to be equal with men, we need to have sameness with men.
Yeah.
And so, you know, instead of saying, wow, like, okay, you know, sex was designed to be enjoyed within the context of marriage. That means there's no chance of children happening outside of, you know, sin and all of that, which is a whole nother conversation, of, you know, evil people doing terrible things to someone else. That's not what we're talking about here. But just in general, you know, men and women,
saving sex for marriage, then there is no chance of children coming, you know, into the world outside of that good covenant design. But then also women, you know, they get pregnant. It's 9 months of pregnancy. Then you're feeding that child. It is a drain on your body. It's hard, but it's a beautiful gift that women alone have. And then you have men who don't go through that same process. And so they're able to continue, whether it's working, providing, and just this structure that makes so much sense. Like, wow, you can see why God made men and women so differently and how they can support and provide and contribute to the family in such different and unique ways. But we have so like diminished and like hated that almost and said, no, like why should men get to be in the workforce, you know, 9 to 5 or traveling all around, and I have to be at home with this child, or I don't have the same flexibility? Like, instead of viewing that as such a bad thing, why don't we view it as like a privilege and a blessing? And wow, God, you have chosen our gender, the, you know, women, females, to get to carry this role, to get to have this different body type, this different function. Like, praise the Lord. This is amazing. You are a great creator. You are a good God. Look at your structure for the family. Look at the fact that you have, you know, made men and women so differently. We need to praise God for these things and embrace the natural path that he has set out for us, rather than fighting against it, kicking and screaming and complaining about how we're different. And just to, you know, throw it out there, in the end, life isn't about us. It's about God and living for him and making his name known, creating disciples and telling others about him. That's the ultimate purpose, living for the glory of God, not for self. So it's so important to get back to that basic understanding of what Christianity is all about and what being a Christian woman is all about. We are not about self. We are not about our own. Just everything is about us. We are ultimately, at the end of the day, about pointing others to Christ, about glorifying him, about embracing our new identity as his daughter and rejoicing in his creation of the man and the woman and the differences that those bring. And so I'm excited that we're having this conversation. I'm excited that we're digging into this topic. There's going to be more to come. Like, this is just scratching the surface. Kristen and I, we were brainstorming just before this podcast, and we have so much good content coming your way. So if you're not subscribed to the podcast, make sure that you subscribe, leave a 5-star review, say, I love this. I want more of this. We need more of this, you know, in the podcast world, because we have some really good stuff coming your way.
Yes, I know. I just feel so inspired even talking about this and so motivated, because as much as we as society, as much as we try to bypass God's design, at the end of the day, I always think it's a little bit funny how God's design always comes out as the winner. And this sense, like, no matter how hard we try to bypass it and break free from it and become independent of it and level the playing fields, at the end of the day, God's design still stands. And in God's design, it's not random. It's not an accident. There are intentional things that God is trying to show us through his design. And in our society where, honestly, this is hard for me, like, this is frustrating how marriage and motherhood have become so, like, minimalized. Like, it's just, oh, like, maybe later on if you want to pursue it. And like, if you ask any woman, you know, she's like 21, like, oh, what do you want to do with your life? Like, you just watch a woman in a secular setting say, oh, I would love to get married and have kids, and just watch the shock on most people's faces. Uh-huh. It's like, oh, wait, what? Like, what? You don't have a 4-year, 8-year, 12-year plan? Like, oh, you basically want to waste your life. Oh, you want to live your life with like snotty noses rubbing on your shoulder? Like, okay, well, you do you, girl, I'll do me. And it's like a very demeaning approach to motherhood. But I think that our biological clock is telling us something different. Like, if you literally think about it, that if a woman's peak fertility is in her mid-20s, like, maybe God's trying to say something. Yeah. Like, when you're young and you have energy and you have healthy eggs, like,
amen to the energy.
Maybe God is saying, if you desire marriage and motherhood and you want to, you pray for that and you're young, like, that is a good and beautiful thing. You will not hear that message from society. And sadly, there are even Christian circles who would maybe not promote that so much. And so I just want to say, like, from God's design, like, his design stands. His design speaks truth to us. That doesn't mean every woman's going to be able to get married young. You know, Bethany got married at right around 30, right? I got married at 24, but was unable to have children. And so it's like, it all comes back to the heart motivation. Ultimately, God is in control. We cannot control. We cannot force. Ultimately, we surrender the timeline of our lives to God. But to have a heart that is hospitable, that is open, that desires. And if you're a young woman and you're even maybe listening 18, 19, 20, and you're thinking, I would love to get married, I would love to have kids one day, that is a beautiful desire. That is a beautiful aspiration. That is a beautiful goal, in the sense of, like, like having a goal. It is not something you need to be scared to say. It is not something you need to be ashamed of. It is something so beautiful and so biblical. But if you're also a woman and you're like, yeah, you know, I'm passionate about this certain aspect of education, you're pursuing it, but at the same time, you have this openness to, if God had marriage for me, I would be open to that. Like, there's choices that God allows us to make, and skills and abilities that he's given us, and ways that we can serve in our churches, in our communities, in his kingdom. It's not going to look the same for any of us, you know? God's design, we have a shirt that literally says God's design isn't a cookie cutter mold, but one that every woman can embrace. And so what we're getting at here isn't a cookie cutter mold. We all need to do things exactly the same way, but we should all have the same heart for God and his design for womanhood, and we should grow in it. So as we wrap things up, I hope this has been an encouragement to you. If you're confused or have questions or disagree, we'd love to hear from you. Come on over to Instagram at Girl Defined and continue this conversation with us. And if you feel like, wow, I don't know as much about biblical womanhood as I thought I did, grab a copy of Girl Defined. Go to girldefined.com. You will be so encouraged and equipped as you read that book. I hope you grab a copy. And if you want to dig more into this topic, we have an article on our website, girldefined.com, called Freeze Your Eggs, The New Trend for Women. You can go read that article to dig more into this topic. Thank you so much for joining us for this conversation. We hope it was encouraging. We hope it was eye-opening, helpful. Share it with a friend. If you know someone who you know would be encouraged and equipped by this conversation, please share this. And like Bethany said before, please leave us that 5-star review if you've been encouraged, because that is an amazing way that you can help spread this podcast and help other Christian women to find it. We love you guys so much, and we can't wait to have another conversation with you.